We're talking about raising a child with intellectual and developmental disabilities into adulthood on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Do you have a child with disabilities? Do you worry they'll have a hard time living independently as an adult? What are some of the challenges you see? Have you started making arrangements for the next phase in life? We're at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Wisconsin has a shortage of quality, affordable housing, but people with disabilities often have even fewer options. WPR reporter Phoebe Petrovic talked to one group of parents taking unusual steps to help their children with disabilities finding housing tailored to their needs.
On a Tuesday in Mount Horeb, five women have gathered at a cafe table crowded with coffee cups and thick binders.
Why don't you talk about your homework?
So my homework is...
Today, they're talking about grant applications. Some are specific.
Oh, here's the one. Do not use grant funds on posters and excessive begging.
The group needs to raise $500,000 to help build an apartment complex they're calling Home of Our Own. These parents and grandparents all have adult children with disabilities who still live with them. The group's leaders, Marianne Omakin and Susan Wallach, met over 20 years ago when their children, Amy and Frank, were in preschool. Amy and Frank both have autism and are nonverbal. Wallach says she and Omakin often spoke about their children's futures.
What happens when our children grow up, and where are they going to live, and what are their lives going to look like? Because we know these are not going to be children who are going to be independent someday.
Amy and Frank are now in their mid-20s and still live with their parents, but Omakin knows their children can't live with them forever.
Let's face it, we are going to die one day, and we would much rather plan thoughtfully and to not have the planning be driven by a crisis.
The parents worry about what will happen when they're no longer able to care for their children. And they say they don't want to put them in group homes or isolated apartments, worrying it might expose them to abuse. People with intellectual disabilities experience sexual assault at a rate 7 times that of those without disabilities, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. So Omakin says that for the past 6 years, the families behind Home of Our Own have met weekly, trying to figure out how to build a place where their children can live on their own, safely and affordably, among friends and neighbors in rural Wisconsin.
This is a really, really determined set of parents, and we just refused to give up.
They dreamed up a specific plan, an integrated community in small-town New Glarus, welcoming residents of all abilities and incomes. Disability advocates, nonprofit developers, and state officials all say there is a shortage of affordable, accessible housing in Wisconsin. Even without a detailed wish list, it's slim picking, says Jason Belongi, Assistant Director of Access to Independence, which serves people of all disabilities and ages in South Central Wisconsin.
There's a very significant shortage of housing stock that is both affordable and accessible for people with disabilities.
In the past few years, the state has seen an increased demand for supportive housing, like Home of Our Own, where some residents get assistance from caretakers. That's according to the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. David Ginger oversees their allocation of tax credits for affordable developments.
I suspect I could allocate all my tax credits to supportive housing for the next couple of years and still not make a huge dent into the need.
Home of Our Own has applied for these tax credits, which would largely cover the $8 million project. They've also gotten approval from New Glarus. They have secured a plot of land and drawn up building designs. Omakin says they're getting closer.
Oh my gosh. In some ways, it feels like this has been the longest journey of our lives. But in other ways, it feels like all of a sudden it's moving really quickly.
It's been tough, but Susan Wallach, the group's other leader, says their children have kept them going.
Our children are the most amazing teachers, and they're the most remarkable people. And if we are strong, it is because our children have taught us to be strong.
If the parents succeed, they'll create 40 new homes in Wisconsin. But advocates say there are still thousands of people needing quality, affordable, accessible housing. And to answer that need, it'll take more than just a few dedicated parents. Phoebe Petrovic, Wisconsin Public Radio.
We're having a discussion about quality, affordable housing for adults with disabilities in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. Let's bring in Marcy Brost. She is Executive Director of the Developmental Disabilities Network. That's a statewide nonprofit that supports people with disabilities by helping them achieve meaning, connection, and a good life. She's also the parent of a young man with disabilities who lives in Madison. Marcy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
So you have a child with disabilities, and you worry that they'll have a hard time living independently as an adult. So as you look at your own son in Madison, and we just heard from parents who are asking these questions, are these questions that all parents face when they have children with disabilities?
Well, I do think so. At least the parents I know who have children with disabilities who are going to be adults or already adults do wonder about those things. I think for me, and probably like any number of other families, the kind of meaningful life that I am hoping he will experience is one of interdependence and not of independence. I think I've learned that from a lot of my friends who have children without disabilities, is that the perspective of independence as the ultimate goal may actually not be the real goal for any of us, but rather a really healthy, thoughtful, respectful interdependence with each other. So, yeah, I share their concerns, and I respect the long journey that each of them have taken and the journeys that lots of families are on right now.
What does interdependence mean and look like on a day-to-day basis?
I think for me, what it means is that the individual who experiences disability, regardless of what the disability is and how complex it is and what issues it presents to the person and their family and the people who support them, is that there's reciprocity and that the individual who experiences disability has an opportunity to make contributions and to have a valued social role in the community, to be employed, to be living as ordinary can be for that particular person, and to be a real citizen and to be a full citizen. That does not mean they don't need support. It just means that that's a part of their life. It's not the definition of who they are as a person.
We know there is this shortage of affordable, accessible, safe housing in Wisconsin. What kind of strain does that put on parents who want their children to be able to live more fully and be contributors, be real citizens, as you say?
Well, I think it strains people in different ways. It sounds to me like the individuals in the Nuglaris situation experienced life very similar to myself and a number of other families when our children were in their teens, and feeling like there wasn't immediately available what we wanted. So we had to step up and try to figure out, how do we partner with people? How do we make our needs known? How do we support people who are funding housing, who are developing housing, who are zoning for housing? How do we collaborate with people so that individuals who experience disability can have those options when they're adults, can find places to rent that are affordable, that have the physical accommodations that they may need, and that are in neighborhoods or locations which permit them to get to work? Have a social life, go to church.
We're talking with Marcy Brost. She's executive director of the Madison-based Developmental Disabilities Network. You have a line to this conversation, 800-642-1234. Do you have a child with disabilities who you worry will have a difficult time living independently as an adult? Does it take an emotional toll on you and your family, and you don't think people talk about it enough? And housing aside, what other types of struggles do you face as you try to create the best possible future for your child with disabilities? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. When we come back, we'll learn about a Wisconsin nonprofit that works to provide a range of housings. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're talking about housing for people with disabilities on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The statewide nonprofit housing organization called Movin' Out helps adults with disabilities achieve homeownership or rent an apartment, and has been working on this for well over 20 years. We're looking at the challenges families face as they try to find affordable, quality housing options. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your school or community doing right when it comes to integrating your child into activities, the workforce, and other aspects of daily life? What are some of the issues you see in helping an adult child with disabilities have a secure future? We've been talking with Marcy Brost, who stays with us. She heads up the Developmental Disabilities Network. And now let's bring in Catherine Auerbeck to the conversation. She's executive director of Movin' Out, which provides housing options for adults with disabilities and for families that have children with disabilities. Catherine, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So we are hearing from parents who are having a really difficult time and trying to build affordable housing to accommodate their adult children. They're going at it on their own. So what do you think their experiences tell us about the state of affordable housing for adults with disabilities here in Wisconsin?
They're facing a challenge that parents and families across the state are facing. There really isn't enough quality, affordable housing to meet the demand, even for people who are not experiencing disabilities, and to find quality, affordable housing that offers that kind of accessibility that may be needed and that is coordinated with supportive services is an even greater challenge.
When you look at rural versus urban, are there particular parts of the states where this type of housing is particularly sparse?
It definitely, I think, is a bigger challenge in the more rural communities. These are areas where, you know, the housing stock in general, again, is can be a challenge, and families with a family member with disabilities may have fewer choices in rural communities, although Movin' Out has worked in many rural communities across the state, and we are working on a new project now in Platteville that is community-integrated, high-quality, mixed-income rental housing, where about 25% of the units will be supportive units.
And when you say community integrated, what does that mean?
That means that the supportive units or units that are designated for people with disabilities or other status like veteran status are not in any way clustered. That's one of the founding principles of Movin' Out. The parents, including Marcy, who was one of the founding parents of our organization, felt very strongly, and their children's preferences mattered a great deal. And that was, as Marcy said earlier, that ability to live as a full citizen and contribute to the community, that for us is hinges on housing that's fully mixed in with the rest of the community, that's not segregated or clustered in any way.
Marcy, the parents behind Home of Our Own said they didn't want to put their children in group homes. What is a group home situation like, and what are your concerns with that?
Well, from my perspective, I know that there's great variability across the state. I mean, to me, a group home is a licensed setting where individuals, usually but not always, who have some similarities in disability labels are clustered. My point of view is that that's segregation, and that's a violation of any number of legal rights people have. I just think that it interferes with people having opportunities to be ordinary citizens in the community. I know there are people who disagree with me. It's just not a model that I think supports the real high-quality interdependence and integration that we want in our communities. And I think that people have better odds of becoming full citizens and having opportunities to try things out when the supports they get are more tailored, and when they're in settings that are more tailored and more individualized. For me, I can only speak for myself, having a license does not necessarily decrease my fear or increase my comfort level about the quality of support that people would be getting. I think historically that was a model that was used as institutions were downsized. And I think that at the time that was what we thought was best. And I think we're at a new time now. We have people graduating from schools, and we have people who've already graduated and whose families are wanting to have more ordinariness and more opportunities to express citizenship, and for disability to be something that people experience but does not define who they are as a person.
Catherine, Movin' Out has been around for about 27 years. How has the landscape for supportive housing changed and evolved? And was it harder to make the case for this type of housing in the early 90s?
I think we're definitely seeing a shift toward less of a one-size-fits-all approach in many parts of our society, housing being certainly one of them, and a shift away from a tendency toward institutionalization to more customized settings where people can express their preferences for their daily lives. So for us, we're definitely seeing more and more of an opportunity to create this kind of housing option for people who prefer it. And there's, you know, certainly that parallel shift in the type of funding that's available for these kinds of projects.
How cost prohibitive can it be for families who are looking for a setting that aligns with what their adult child, you know, really would like and wants to live in?
I think that if the community integrated housing is paired with supportive services through the long-term care system, that the overall cost is comparable to what a family would experience with a more institutional setting. And similar to what the healthcare system is starting to recognize, that keeping people in facilities rather than helping them get the care that they need at home is actually more expensive.
Marcy, going back to watching your son live an interdependent life and being on that journey, what have the two of you learned together through this journey?
Wow, we've had great opportunities to learn, and every day even more. I would say what we've really learned are a couple things. One is I think I've learned a great deal about resilience in terms of seeing how resilient he is, even though often I might have been concerned about his ability to live with some of the consequences of some of his disabilities. So I've really been able to get a deeper understanding and a feeling for what resilience is for someone who experiences the kinds of disabilities that he does. I think what I've really learned is that it is possible to pursue the kinds of achievements that I wanted for him and the experiences I wanted him to have. That does not in any way make light of some of the difficulties and some of the downright losses that we had when we tried different strategies or different experiences. It's not in any way did I learn that this was an easy road, but I think the other thing I really learned is I do have friends who have adult children who are in similar age to my son and their children don't have disabilities, at least yet. And some of the dilemmas that they faced with their children were different than I did with my son. But I think I really learned that the disability, the impairments that he has, definitely have a significant impact on his life. But the most important thing is that they're not a description of who he is. He is still a whole person, and that he can be quite successful. He works 4 days a week. He has had jobs in lengths of nearly 20 years. He lives in a typical house in a typical neighborhood. He participates in a variety of community activities. He's been able to volunteer. He's been able to make contributions to the community. So
it sounds like a full life.
Yes.
Marcy, yes. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Marcy Brost is Executive Director of the Developmental Disabilities Network. And Catherine Auerbach, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Catherine Auerbach is Executive Director of Movin' Out. Coming up next, talking about puberty with kids is hard. Talking about it with children with disabilities is unique. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show.